The CureCast is a non-profit fan-based podcast. Pretty Cure and related characters are produced by Toei Animation, Asahi Broadcast Corporation, and Marvelous AQL. Please support the official releases.
Hello, and welcome to the fourth episode of The CureCast, where our voice is the cure and the cure is pretty. I am your host, Kamion, taking the place of Minion from last episode, The Fresh CureCast. Unfortunately, due to inclement weather, she cannot be here tonight, and so I volunteered to take her place. With me today are the actual members of Doki Doki CureCast. Starting off, we have Cure-kun from last week's episode.
Hi, I'm Kyle, also known as Cure-kun.
Coming up next, making her first debut on the CureCast, the original host, but also a very wonderful member of the Pretty Cure community, is Pen Name Solon. Is it Pen Name Solon or Pename?
You can decide whatever you want.
Solon.
Yep.
We have Solon.
I'm Solon, and I occasionally make a Bridge Gallery series. That's all.
Those are really funny. I love those.
Thank you.
They're hilarious. And finally, our CureCaster from Down Under, visiting Japan for us today, is Maya.
Hello. Hi. I'm Maya. I'm the resident Tumblr CureCast member. In case you didn't know, I'm Maya Neko on Tumblr. So I make GIFs and graphics and post other pretty cute stuff on my site. I love multi-ships and cat blobs. Yay!
And besides me, this makes the Doki Doki CureCast. So starting off, we have the last four episodes of Doki Doki Precure, episodes 11 through 14. We will begin with episode 11, starting with the talk of the Love Heart Arrow. We've seen pictures of that before. Honestly, I thought it was absolutely horrendous before I saw it in action, but I still think it's pretty horrendous. Starting with Solon, how did you feel about episode 11 and the Love Heart Arrow?
I think it was good, but I wanted it to be better. It's how I should probably say it. I mean, it did have a good problem, and even though I don't care that much about Joe or the baby, I think it was a solid episode. I just wish it was a little better with about Mana's turmoil, inner problems, like how she had to choose between helping and involving people, like she usually is in open to ask people for help, and how she had to choose to abandon everyone and everything. I thought it was could have been better, but I am okay with what they had.
But how did you feel about her choice? Because you make that very apparent that you thought it should have been better. How did you feel about the choice she made of abandoning the people she helped for something also important to her? It's very important to choose between making sacrifices to dictate what choice to make. How did you feel about hers?
I think it was a good choice, kind of, because the choice was between, you know, helping on the sports team or saving a baby's life. Even though I think she should have told the other girls, she had to think about what the guy, what villain did say. He said that, come alone, do as I say, or I'll hurt the baby. And she did what she could. I guess I just wanted a little more focus on that, on what she thought and how she came to that decision. I felt a little more of that. But I thought she made the right choice story-wise.
Well, do you think that improves her character, or do you still have the same stance as when you first started reviewing her?
I'm still skeptic, but I think it made her more interesting.
So your opinion of her has improved?
A little, yes.
I like that. That's very reassuring to hear. It's very good to hear initial opinions actually changing over time. How did you feel about the Love Heart Arrow?
I don't like toy weapons, so I didn't like it that much. Maybe that changes too, who knows? They made me like a pink cheerleader, so, or think she's interesting, so maybe they managed to make me like the toy.
There's only two modes you can go with it, if you've seen it in action. And either way, how do you feel the fact that it's the same identical item for all four cures, but there's not really much of a difference to it?
A real waste, and I feel it's really lazy. Like, they just want to sell toys, but they don't want to make anything unique. So they first make a Cure Hearts weapon, and then just copies it, because, you know, what Love Heart Arrow, it's pretty obvious that it was made for Cure Heart, but then they just made it for everyone else, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't like laziness when it comes to stories, so, yeah, I didn't like that.
Okay. Yeah, it's really, I really do not like the fact that Mana is the only one using the arrow to purify, and everyone's just doing attacks. It's really not really fair to the other cures, especially with a huge improvement on the weapon system. It's still not fair. It's focusing all on Mana. It's really frustrating. How about you, Maya? How do you feel about episode 11 and the Love Heart Arrow?
I don't really have much of an opinion on it. I thought it was okay. I really liked Belle turning into like eating the heart thing, and then turning into a really weird, weird selfish, and then the reactions of it.
You mean the beast form? I think they call it beast form. I don't know. Yeah, I know it's beast something. I think we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that later. But how do you feel?
The attack was good. Not as epilepsy warning as the past series, like Sweet Precure and such. But the best thing about it is that it's not CGI anymore.
Oh, God.
Like, you know, Hardcatch to Smile, everything was like, all the attack weapons were CGI.
Really?
Yep.
Which one was that?
Smile's probably the only one's probably the... I can't remember anymore. But probably not Smile. I can't remember anymore. I haven't seen Smile in for a while.
Because when you say CGI, I think like 3D models.
CGI, computer.
I don't really see the computer...
It's not anymore. It's not CGI anymore. The Doki Doki attacks.
Did they do it in Sweet?
Yeah.
Which one? Crescendo?
The Beltiers.
I didn't know that. You're right. I just realized that. So we're going back tradition.
And I kind of agree with Solon about the main problem is Heart being the finisher. But I'm just kind of the person who just doesn't care, just watches it for the sake of it.
Well, how do you feel about the Love Heart Arrow in general? Do you think that it's an interesting concept, or do you think that it could have been done better? Or it should have been done better.
It's okay. For me, it's okay. It's... And considering the economy right now, it's kind of saving parents' wallets. But it could have been a bit better. Kind of agree with Solon half of it.
Well, what is it about the Love Heart Arrow that you find appealing, then? If anything about the Love Heart Arrow, or how it came about, or how it's been used so far in the series, do you feel any positive feelings for it?
I'm kind of neutral about it. I'm always neutral.
Yeah, I can't help but neutral for it. How about the overall problem of the episode? The trial that Mana has to go through, and not just Mana, but the characters of the day have to go through.
That's hard, especially when I haven't seen it for a while. I don't have an opinion. I don't really have an opinion about it. I feel okay about it.
Having to choose between two dilemmas... That's not really a thing for you.
It's rather conflicting for Mana to choose her priorities, especially when she's like always there for other people, and she has to choose between two problems.
Do you think you can relate with that?
Not really. I'm not really much of a helping person.
Well, it's not really helping, but having to choose between two dilemmas and having to make a sacrifice. How can you relate with that?
Probably. You can relate with that. It's a human thing where you want to do something go, and then there's something else going on and you want to do it. And then you have... It's hard to choose between two things and doing two things at once.
And how about you, Kirkun? How do you feel about the overall episode and the Love Heart Arrow?
Starting with the Love Heart Arrow,
it's kind of unique, I guess. I don't think we've really had some sort of arrow attack before. Not that I can remember.
Actually, we have.
Sapphire Arrow.
That's what it's called? Sapphire Arrow?
Sapphire Arrow.
So, yeah, Yes 5, go.
Oh, I haven't seen Yes at all, so I don't know that.
Okay, that makes sense.
As for all of them having the exact same weapon, yeah, I feel that's kind of cheap, but, like others have said, it's to do with, like, toy production and everything like that. They still try and make it unique for each member. I'm kind of disappointed that Rosetta still has a barrier, but she seems to be able to do a little more with this one. They've shown in episode 13, I think, that she can use it to slap or, like, throw. And then they've stuck Cure Diamond with the usual blue Cure has, like, ice abilities or stuff like that. And then, I don't know, I'm kind of disappointed that none of them can purify the Selfish without Heart using her attack at the end. Animation filler, basically, to take up time. As for the episode itself, it was good seeing, like, the dilemma that Mana had to go through between choosing to help the softball team and rescuing Ai, and then she didn't want to put, like, any pressure on anyone else, so she went alone, like she was asked to. And I liked the fact that this episode sort of started the trend of introducing more secondary characters, like classmates and stuff like that. It was a good episode. It was a bit funny when Belle turned into a cell phone. I have to admit, I was not expecting them to introduce that sort of villain power-up yet. It's a nice little twist for the villains to receive a power-up early. Yeah, it was a pretty good episode.
So, regarding what you said about the finishers, you think that there's no improvement to the finisher at all? It's just adding a weapon to it, but there's no really improvement to it.
There's a bit of an improvement. It's nice to see Diamond, Sword, and Heart doing different things. Like, their first attacks, I didn't like too much. I thought it was a little underwhelming. But then again, I didn't know they were introducing the power-ups that early. Rosetta stays the same. Her first attack was still underwhelming. And then this barrier attack is almost the exact same, except it's just a little larger.
And they did make note that all she does is do barriers.
Yeah.
That is a nice twist to it. It is really funny that they are acknowledging some of the problems that the series kind of has in terms of character. But, you know, what I meant by there's no change is that it's still the same type of thing. It's just adding another substance to it. Like, okay, so maybe Rosetta has a bigger barrier, or Diamond still has ice attacks. It really isn't. It's just a change of animation. Same thing with Sword's sword thing. It's just change in animation. It's still pretty much the same thing. I don't really see a difference.
Yeah, it's adding a weapon and then calling it something new.
Do you think it's like recycling? Do you think it's a budget thing?
I think it's them wanting to introduce the power-up so that they can get a toy of it earlier, because they sort of saved money this time with having all of them use the same lovely commune. They did the exact same thing with Smile. I think it was the suite that had two different packaging for the modules with the different fairy tones for both melody and rhythm. But yeah, it's just, I can see how it's just recycling and them wanting to save a bit of money when it came to attacks.
Alright, so that was episode 11. Up next is episode 12, where it's mostly filler. Mana gains an apprentice who fails to keep up, and it creates a little hole in his heart. So it's mostly filler, but it didn't happen to the end, but the main thing about this episode that probably got everyone was Regina, who was nameless at the time, but we already seen that she is a new character. She's a little more further explained in episode 13, but so we'll combine that for now. How do you feel about episode 12, as in general, with June, I think his name is, and the appearance of Regina? We'll start with Kyle. Kirkin.
I did like the fact that like I said before, they're introducing more secondary characters. And June was really nice, how he was trying so hard to be like Mana, and then he finally realized that he couldn't be like her, and what she does is too hard, and that she struggles with it herself sometimes. She just makes it look easy, but it's really not. But in the end, he found something that he can use to help others, and that he actually enjoys doing, which was gardening and planting flowers around the school. Another little thing that they added was the fact that his heart was so strong that he was able to fight Ira's control of his heart, which gave them time to, like, attack more.
Do you think that makes June a special type of character, or do you think he's just an exception?
I wouldn't say he's an exception. I'd say, like, they were introducing the fact that people with strong enough hearts can fight off the Selfish's control, as they also put it in a little differently in episode 14. Yeah, his heart was just strong enough to resist the control just a little bit. He didn't take full control of it, he just resisted.
Okay. And how do you feel about the appearance of this new Selfish Trio addition, which is now a fourth person, Regina?
I'm going to start with her voice. Her voice was a little childish. She didn't have that many lines. She had, like, two lines at the very end of the episode. This episode was mostly just showing off her character design and how she kind of views the Precures as her rivals a bit.
Well, we can talk a little bit about episode 13, which is when she's focused a little more. How do you feel about her overall character from the first appearance she made to the last appearance in the episode?
She's definitely childish, which she kind of acts like everything is hers, and that's like showing off her pride and everything, and I guess that's what she's supposed to represent. She's supposed to represent pride.
So she's more so the spoiled princess.
Yeah, and it's said that she's the daughter of King Jikoju, or King Selfish. So she is technically the spoiled princess of the big powerful daddy who will probably do anything for her.
Okay. Then, moving on, how about you, Solon? How do you feel about episode 12 with June and the appearance of Regina?
It's okay. Like, you know, I don't like Mana that much, or the way she's often portrayed to be perfect, or how I feel like she's portrayed really perfect girl who can't do no wrong. I think the episode where someone once idolizes her, wants to be just like her, that part of the episode was actually really good, except when, you know, he had to talk aloud all the time, like, oh, she's so kind, oh, she's even doing that, oh my god, she's even watching a baby and everything. And I'm like, do you have to speak loud every time? Like, every time he speaks about how kind she is or anything. And like, I get it. She is a really kind and helpful person. You don't need to tell me every 10th second. Can't you just watch her in amazement? Like, maybe think about it. It just...
like stating the obvious.
Yeah, I don't like the obvious. Even though I am usually very obvious when I talk, you know, pointing at elephants in the room and everything. It's like, that might be really hypocritical. So I might be a hypocrite when I say that, but I don't really like that part of the episode. And I wish in the battle of the episode, they would maybe make a more point like, oh no, this is someone we know we're going to fight. Does that mean that we're hurting him? Because every time they've fought a monster before, it's been someone they don't know. Or they don't know that it's that person. So when it's someone that they have spent the whole day with and they see that he gets turned into a monster, I would like them to maybe talk or have some more conflict in the battle. Like, does this hurt him? Or what are we going to do? Not the elephant is cute. I waited for some kind of, you know, don't attack him, you might hurt June. But instead it's like, oh my god, the elephant monster is so cute. Yeah, it was an okay episode.
How do you feel about June's overall character and his resolution in the episode?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I see where it comes from wanting to be someone like Mana. I don't like her, but I can see why people would like her in real life, someone as kind as her. So I understand someone wanting to be like her and maybe and grow jealous and everything. And then I like that how he realized that he wasn't supposed to be, he was never supposed to be like Mana. He had his own passions and he had his own character. And I like that. I like that very much.
Do you think it was a good setup for conflict?
For him?
Yes.
For a side character, Yeah, I think so. I know how it feels to want to be someone you're not supposed to be.
At the end of the episode, we get Regina, who only makes a slight appearance, but she makes a more profound appearance in episode 13. We don't have to talk about episode 13, but how do you feel about Regina in general?
I like her. I really like villains who... She loves being selfish. She's like, she knows she's a selfish witch and loves that she sucks it all in and like villains who are deliciously evil.
That's quite a way of putting it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of the reasons why I liked Joker in the first episodes of Smile Pretty Cure, because he was just so creepy and so obvious.
So is there anything about her you didn't like, or is she just becoming your all favorite now?
Of the villains, definitely, because she has a character and feels like she's going to be stronger and a dangerous foe, and she's not going to run away after the monster is defeated. But I like her, and I think she's an interesting character right now, and it might be because I want someone new, because right now it feels like the other characters and the other cures are becoming more like each other, like they all react the same way, they all feel the same way.
There's no sense of diversity.
No, especially not in the 13th episode when Alice does something and the three girls watches. They all react the same way, they have the same voice, the same words, and the same face reaction. And I know it is because of the animation, but it's like, would really all of the third girls say those things? Wouldn't one be quiet or one, I don't know. But I feel like she has a really, really different character right now, and that makes me like her.
Okay. Moving on, Maya, how do you feel about this episode and Regina?
I think pretty much Kirikun and Solon have said everything I wanted to say.
Is it anything that struck you personally?
I like the episode, but I have no opinion because it's already been said. But I really like how the apprentice wants to be like Mana, but he just can't. And I kind of know how he feels trying to be someone you can't be. So I kind of agree with Solon on that. About Regina, I don't really have much an opinion about Regina because I actually missed the first part of Alice's episode. But the first part of Alice's episode where they actually meet her, she looks like a potential threat to the main Precures.
Do you think even more so than Bell, who's already proven that he can quite handle everything?
Yeah.
Is there anything about Regina you don't like? We'll kind of sink into episode 14 a little. Is there anything about Regina that you actually don't like about her?
I don't really know. I can't say anything much. Sorry.
Okay. 13 and 14 introduces the new concept called the Royal Crystals. As Davi mentioned, it belongs to the royal family and that Makoto has only seen it once. If you've seen the pictures, there's actually 5 Royal Crystals. Strangely enough, it's pink, blue, orange, purple, and strangely red. Now, there has been rumors and spoilers floating around, but we'll save that for later. How do you guys feel about the Royal Crystals and how they play a part in this new arc episode, starting with 13 and 14? We'll start with Maya this time.
About the fifth crystal, if from the leaks, we know that it's going to be a new Precure.
Yeah, it says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, red. It's, like, really obvious. We don't know much about the crystals at the moment, so we don't, but from the spoilers, it's gonna be part of the new attack.
Really?
There's gonna be a new attack once the new Precure comes.
So it's gonna be like someone else's arsenal.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember.
Oh god, I don't know how I feel about that.
They still haven't found the next 2 crystals, so we don't know much about it as of now.
How do you feel about how they come about? We've seen it before. It was a yellow flower at first, and then there was a blue set of cards. How do you feel about how they came about, why they're in the world, and all that stuff?
I don't really know. It's actually kind of unexpected. I actually kind of not expected to actually be on the prizes. When the Precures win or get given something by a side character. And it's actually going to be the crystal. Especially with Alice's episode, it was unexpected. And then when it came to Rika's episode, I kind of actually expected the blue thing to become the royal crystal.
So you think these crystals will correspond with whoever the episode is about then?
Yeah.
That's a little bit cliche. That's way too cliche. It makes sense, but it's Pretty Cure. Pretty Cure is nothing without cliche.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the conflicts of the episode? And do you think they are a good tie-in with the Royal Crystals or not?
Not really. But I actually liked episode 13 because it focused more on Alice, especially her ability to fight. I really liked how Mama says, yeah, all you can do is defend, and then Alice just pushes the barrier and hits her in the head. It was funny.
So it's like, it improves on Alice's character a little more.
Yeah. Episode 14, it was okay, but it was actually really confusing about Rika's problem. I actually never expected her problem to be about a game or then over her studies because she came second.
So how about you, Solin? How do you feel about the Royal Crystals and the overall problems that relate to them?
Well, as you said, it is kind of cliche that, you know, the colors are going to appear as the episode is focused on one of the characters, but I don't care about the crystals, really. I see, you know, uses her hand and then the crystal appears, and I kind of just think, can they just ask I to just make it appear? It's like, because I feel like she just makes them out of nowhere.
Well, didn't they say that the royal crystals react to someone of the royal family?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
That should say a lot about Ai, if she's the one finding the crystals.
Yeah, the cures. I find it kind of funny. The Pretty Cure needs help from a baby to save the kingdom. Oh, it makes so much sense. it says so much about the strength of our heroes when they have to get help from a baby of everyone to save a big kingdom.
Well, you have to admit, we've had this before with Fresh Precure. Yeah, where we had, since last episode, Psychic Baby. And oftentimes, I actually haven't really finished Fresh, but they, Psychic Baby does the work. Or sometimes help does the work. Like, we've had, Kirkun, what are those things called again? The sticks?
Cure sticks?
Yes, there we go. Where they get the cure sticks, we don't get them without the baby's help. And sometimes the baby just does the work.
Yeah. I know it. But Chiffon, I didn't like Fresh that much, but Chiffon had the plus that she or it, okay, it had the potential to go nuts. I don't know if you have seen that part of the series, but it was kind of, the girls and Tart were always aware of how powerful Chiffon was. So it was like, you know, we have to watch out for Chiffon, because if we don't watch over her, something wrong is going to happen.
Then do you think that Ai also has that potential, especially since she's finding all the royal crystals? She's got to have something.
Yeah, but it's not... But, you know, with Chiffon, it's like they focus on the fact that, you know, Chiffon is powerful and for some, yeah, and the villains are after it and can turn bad or crazy if they don't watch out. But with Ai, it's like everything so that they do with Ai is like squeeing that she's so cute, and if she does do something amazing, they're like, oh my god, you're just so adorable when you help us. And they don't really think about it that much.
They don't question it. They just don't question it.
They don't question that the little baby was hatched from a giant pink hearty egg. And they don't, they don't actually stop Joe and like, if you don't tell us what is going on, if you just can't tell us if you are on our side or not, we're just not going to help you anymore or anything. It's like they just they ignore the whole issue.
Well, you have to realize, like, especially on a girl's anime, it's very, realism doesn't really exist.
I know.
Realism refuses to exist. As much as we want it to, they just take it in its stride and it just goes as is. We can't really help it. But, you know, it has its charm.
Yeah, it has its charms. And I don't give that much of a care about the royal crystals as of now, because I know the two last crystals are just going to appear the next episodes, and it just was a thing for 4 episodes, and then something new is going to happen. And I guess that's better than smile pedicures. Collect these, collect them again, and collect them again. I guess it's better, but it does kind of feel like padding. Or filler.
All right. Then how about you, Kyrkun? How do you feel about the appearance of the royal crystals?
At least they're better than what I was thinking. Like, I thought it was just going to be a repeat of, like, Miracle Jewel that we had last season in Smile. But it's very obvious that they're connecting the appearance of the royal crystals to the appearance of the new cure that was leaked not too long ago. As for how they're appearing, it always has something to do with Aichan making the crystals out of something that is representing the color of the crystal, and also has some way of connecting the crystal to the queen. First, it was Queen Marianne's favorite rose, and that was the yellow crystal. And then, secondly, Koto mentioned that the queen's favorite game to play was Karafuda, I think it's called, whatever Rika was playing in the last episode. And then the blue crystal came from a blue deck of cards. So it's obvious that they're trying to connect the crystals to the queen herself. And
do you find it odd at any point, well, not the cards, but there's a yellow flower, and it's the queen's favorite flower, and it appears on Earth. Did you ever find it odd that there is something otherworldly in their world, and they don't question it?
Well, Makoto does question it a bit. She's just like, well, why is the queen's favorite flower here? Like, it only grows in our kingdom. But after that, it's just, oh, it's a flower. Okay, we accept it. Blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it is strange that they aren't questioning these things more, especially when they all have to center around, like, Aichan, who came from an egg, and they just accept her as is. I mean, even June, the apprentice that Amana took, when he was holding Aichan, he did not question why she had wings.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and it's just kind of starting to get a little annoying. Like, they're trying to put plot points in almost every episode,
but they don't pay attention to detail.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Then I think we will end Freshly Picked here. We will begin next with Open My Heart. It's kind of changed a little bit over time. At first it was community, it focused more on community, but now it's community, Precure news, and Precure related news, like voice actors. Unfortunately, we couldn't get news, so we're going to do what community does. We'll start Open My Heart with something that's been done in Tumblr a lot. I'll explain it. These are called confessions. What these are, one of the most well-known Tumblrs for Precure is Magical Girl Confessions and Precure Confessions, where basically you send them something on their ask box, and you just send them a question, you just send them a confession, and then it'll post it. Granted, it's going to take some time. You can't really blame them. They're busy. So I hope you guys have something to confess, because we're going to talk about them a little. We will start with Kyrkun. Is there anything about Precure in general that you would like to confess about the series?
Let's see. I'd like to confess that I really like Beat a lot, Cure Beat. She might be one of my favorite cures, and a lot of people don't actually like her. And also, I really like all the Heart Catch girls, but I don't actually like Cure Sunshine's design at all. I hate it so much.
Do you feel that way? So you don't like Heart Sunshine, do you? But compared to Moonlight, her design is very similar to the past series. I mean, to the other two cures. How does it feel that, you know, that she's designed differently, but yet she's still part of the theme, the floral theme, compared to Moonlight, who is designed completely differently. You don't see any of the past themes there.
I guess the way they thought of it was that Moonlight's fully clothed, so they need to have Sunshine with almost no clothes at all. She has like a midriff. She's wearing a super short skirt.
She's got bike shorts. That's still fine. They all have bike shorts.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. It's just she doesn't. Moonlight seems like she's more part of the team than Sunshine does. Like, even though she has the floral pattern and everything, it just she's vastly different in her own way.
Like. How? Like, design-wise, personality-wise, or even combat-wise, maybe, that she's different?
Well, she is a capable fighter, but they're all capable fighters in their own right. It's just... I can't explain it properly. I'm just gonna stop right there, because...
Okay. Okay. Then we will go next with... Skipping over Maya. We're gonna go with Maya to see any... Because she's our resident Tumblr... Let's see what she will confess today. I'm pretty sure she sends enough confessions.
Confessions. I'm not much of the confession type because I've lost my ability to be completely negative. I can be negative, but not completely negative anymore. I just gave up. Because I see a lot of the confessions on Tumblr. A lot. And some of them are pretty good. But the majority is just plain bad. Like, I hate this series so much. And, like, you know, all these hate series. The ones I hate the most, the ones I don't like the confessions, is the Sailor Moon versus Precure ones. It's really, really bad. It's really bad.
Like, it's like something that really shouldn't be compared type of thing?
Yeah. Everyone goes bad. Like, Precure is a ripoff of Sailor Moon, and then the Precure fandom is like, oh, like, really, they get really mad at that, the RP's message. But I'm sure everyone has the right to express your own opinion. No, well, there's also other confessions where one person likes this series, and then hates another series, and then they start wanking about, like, they hate this series, like, I hate this series. Well, you have your right to express your opinion. However, if you say it too much, it kind of hurts out the fun out of those people who actually enjoy the series. So I just say it once and then let those people enjoy it without being put down. That's why I don't like confessions that's why I don't like the confessions that much. There are some good ones though. Like really funny ones. Ridiculous ones.
Like creative ones?
Yeah. The good ones are the ridiculous ones or the ones that actually, like, I like this series. The positive ones. But I have no confession to make. Though, I kind of agree with Cure Coon about Cure Beat. I actually like Cure Beat. And about Sunshine, I think she's all... I like Sunshine, but... Out of the girls, she's probably the last of my favorites. So, I don't generally hate her. I'm just like neutral to okay and like about it.
Well, it's fine that you don't have hate. It's a good thing that you don't have hate.
I just lost all my hate about certain things, especially. I hate the really bad confessions. That's it.
Okay. Then, how about you, Solon? Since you do a lot of reviews and you do a lot of Abridged series, I'm pretty sure you have some sort of opinion about Pretty Cure that you like or don't like. I'm actually interested to hear if there's anything you would like to confess about Pretty Cure.
Except that I still like it?
Well, whatever it is, you know, doesn't matter.
I don't know, because it's like, I guess I can confess that I liked Pretty Cure because of a lot of things of it now infuriates me. I think I still like it because of just I just always like I got an interest in superhero comics, and I just kind of when I saw these girls beat up a monster that was black and white, and I was like, wow, that's cool, and I still watched, and I got hooked, and I guess I just liked a magical girl series where the girls had to actually use fighting and fists more than magic. Of course, it changed more now, but that's not a confession, because I always say that. But my confession is that I really, really want a Super Smash Bros. Brawl-like Pretty Cure fighting game. That's my confession.
Oh, God, everyone wants that. Everyone wants a Pretty Cure fighting game.
Same.
I want one, too.
Yeah, and I'm going to... And that's my confession. I really want that, and it might be obvious saying elephant in the room comment, I don't know, but that's my confession.
That would be great. I'd love that confession. I actually expected more of you to be like, that I like Pretty Cure despite its flaws, I keep coming back to it. But no, you come up with that, and I'm like, that's just great. That's something I never expected from you. It actually makes me feel better.
Yeah, but you know, me whining about Pretty Cure, and it's becoming old, so it wouldn't...
Well, everyone whines about Pretty Cure. That's not a problem. We all see the faults in Pretty Cure. That's what the CureCast is for, is that we review, we talk about it, and then we're all friends here.
Yeah, but I don't know. I really, really would like it, and especially because I just played Injustice, the superhero fighting game. And I really, really liked it. So I was like, oh, I want this in Pretty Cure. It's like, or the first seasons was all about magical girls fighting, using fists and kicks and everything. And I was like, why can't this be a game? And it is a game, but it's about baking cake.
Folks, remember that heroes don't ever fight each other unless there's specific reasons for it. But it's never a bad thing to watch a hero fight a hero. Don't ever forget that. That's why we have Power Rangers and Kamen Rider. Heroes fighting heroes. If I were to confess something, I think someone brought it up earlier. I forgot who said something about Regina's voice. I think Regina's voice and Makoto's voice, I posted this on Precure Confessions, that they are unfitting of their character and of their design.
That was you?
That was me. Yeah, you saw that Tumblr, right?
Wait, yeah. I think Makoto Kenzaki's and Regina's voice are a bit too high for their appearances.
That is me.
Okay.
That was me. I honestly do think that their voices are so high. If you've seen past episodes, if you've seen past series, you know, appearance and voice means everything. It's gotta match. It, like, look at March or now. She has that tomboyish look. She's pretty athletic. She seems like the big sister. So it's fitting that her voice sounds mature. Maybe not as mature as Reika, but you know, it's it gives her that presence. If you look at Makoto and Regina, they look like 12 years old, but they act well. Makoto sounds mature, looks mature, but she doesn't sound it. She sounds like a little girl. Granted, they're all usually 12 years old. Well, we don't really know what.
14.
Really, they're 14?
Yeah, they're all 14.
Okay.
In middle school.
Wait, can a 14-year-old girl have a singing career in Japan?
Unless you're a child idol, like in America.
Can I do that in America too?
Yeah, they do that a lot, especially when you're famous on TV.
Yeah, but yeah, okay.
It just weirds me out, you know. Like they sound really young. It really sound, and they, especially Regina. And you expect Regina to have that overwhelming presence, but she sounds like a brat. You know, granted, she is. Her voice reflects off her presence. It just really annoys me to no end that, like, it feels like it doesn't match. And it takes some time to get used to it, because you go 12 episodes in, it takes some time to get used to it, but it's still one of those things that strikes you as odd. Especially because, what's her name? Kanako?
Kumiko Watanabe?
No, the voice actor for,
Makoto. I think that's Kanako Miyamoto.
Yeah.
The singer of Yes, Precure, the ending singer.
I always found her voice to be very odd in Yes 5.
Oh, yes.
So when I found out that she was the voice actress for Koto, I did not know how well that would go, because I've never heard her speak. I've never seen that episode where she guest starred in Yes 5. But I didn't have a reference. But it's just odd. I always expected Makoto's voice to be a little bit deeper and a little bit more mature.
Yeah.
I guess it's different. I expected her to be more like
sound like an old.
Well, not sound old. It's just that that I expected her to have the mature voice because she looks mature.
Yeah,
like Reika. But even Reika, Reika's voice matches. It's Kotobuki Minako. You really can't say anything about that. It's just that matching and appearance-wise.
Reika's Chinami Nishimura.
Oh, Reika. I thought
Reika, not Rika.
Oh. Well, I've never really listened to how Dark Dream sounds like, to be honest. And that's the only other role I know she's done in Precure. It fits though. I mean, looking at Reika, her voice sounds like her voice gives off the effect that Reika is serious, but she's also aloof, and that she's still a kid, but she's mature for her age. It fits. It fits and it balances. And it feels like when one side is more than the other, like Makoto, then that's where it's kind of off a little. But you really can't help that. You really can't. I don't hate her voice. Maybe as a singer, maybe. Her voice has changed a lot since YES5, especially with the song that she's coming out. It's changed. But I don't like her voice. I really don't.
Mm.
I don't hate it, but it's just off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like Makoto. She's my favorite Doki Doki Precure character. But her voice, yeah, I kind of agree with her voice. I kind of wish Toei actually chose a better voice actress or like a singer voice actress. In that fact, especially when I listen to Yes Precure 5, it's kind of hard to get used to her, mm-hmm. get used to her singing. And then when her insert song came up for Makoto, it's actually really good, actually improved. But yeah, I kind of agree. Her voice is okay, but it could have been better.
Okay. I also would like a Precure brawler game, not a fighting game. You know, Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors are the Musou games, if you guys know what I'm talking about.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's like basically where you're traveling in a set plane and then you have like all these enemies coming after you. I would like that because the most we ever get from that, that series where it involves a lot of enemies fighting you is Heart Catch. That's probably the only downside is to it, though, because really you're only fighting snackies. Like, maybe you can fight an enemy of the day. The only thing that helps with that, that done that before, was the All-Stars movies, where they have all the enemies come in together, and they have to fight the enemies in one go. Fighting those giant enemies is, like, hard. You've seen, it takes an entire episode to beat them, compared to fighting foot soldiers like snackies. Like, fighting snackies, I think, would be really fun. Just watching them fly around, but I guess the more realistic action game for Precure would be like a fighting game, not a brawler.
Apparently, they did something with Sariwa about going through an event to a theme park, and then someone posted a speed run of Sariwa game.
Yeah, it's a side scroller.
Yeah, there was.
I didn't know there was a Futariwa game.
Yeah, and you have to beat up enemies as well.
Oh god, that actually sounds it. I have to find that later. Thanks for showing that. I'll find it and I'll probably post it in the episode's description. Alright, so then we are going to end Open My Heart here. I hope you guys enjoyed listening to our confessions, because this was quite an experiment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I learned a lot from these guys. It's really hilarious. I love you guys.
We love you too.
But this will be Free Splash, by the way. This is new to you guys, since this is your first main cast. Free Splash is an exclusive to main casts. It's basically probably a 10 to 20 minute break, but since just take the time to get whatever you need to drink, eat, and we can just talk. Just don't turn off your recording, because I like to record our little conversations, because it's it doesn't have to be Precure related. It's just, you know, we just talk. It's like having a call, you know?
Okay, like a typical Skype group call chat. Okay.
All right, so if you guys don't need to go, then we can talk for a bit, for 10 minutes. It'll be fine. I'll be back.
Can I, you're Japanese, right?
No, I'm not Japanese.
Wait, what?
I'm not Japanese. I'm just in Japan for exchange.
You're in Japan?
For exchange.
Oh,
right.
Okay, sorry. I wanted to ask.
It's all right.
So, where in Japan are you?
I'm in Nagano, which is like where all the mountains and snow, mountains are. It's really warm right now. Pretty warm. It's cold, but it's getting warmer because it's almost summer.
Oh, I love the summer.
So I get to buy lots of pre-cure stuff.
Yeah, I've heard. Is it true that there is a pre-cure store?
Yeah, there is. There's a pre-cure store.
Wow.
I actually went there when I went to Tokyo for like a few days with my dad.
Wow.
It was awesome. There were lots of people though. It's actually on a station. It's actually underground on the state, like in the station.
Oh.
It's pretty small, not much. I just bought some keychains, that's all. That's probably the only thing I got from the store. I recommend going to Akihabara to get pre-cure figurines, and other pre-cure knickknacks.
It would be cool. Yeah, because I heard the rumor and was like, oh, wow, that would be so cool. I love, you know, stores that have just from, you know, I was in New York for weeks ago, and we were in Times Square, and it was so amazing to see, like, just M&M store, and we were like, everyone was like, wow, that's amazing, and it was like, and some also were like, how can you make a store out of M&M, because that's candy. So when I heard it was a Pretty Cure store, I was like, wow, can they make a store out of it? It's amazing how it's possible and it can run, and I so want to go there, and I want, yeah, because it's like, it must be so much there,
I took some photos of like, the store's small. They have, like, they have keychains, they have, like, lunch boxes, they have posters, pretty much, like stationary stuff. The toy stuff, if you want to find the toy stuff, you'll have to go to, like, a toy store to find all the pre-cure toys. And then most of the figurines are actually online, but there are some places, like especially Akihabara or in Shibuya, Mandarake, you can find pre-cure figurines. But yeah, pre-cure is pretty scattered when it comes to merchandise.
Are they hard to get?
Depends. The older the series, the harder it's actually to buy.
Well, that's usually a given. I mean, Super Sentai and Kamen Rider follows that closely.
But I've seen a lot of Kamen Rider SH figure art merchandise in Toys R Us when I went to
really?
Two stores.
Wait, really?
Yep.
Oh god, really?
I'm like, yep.
Because I know they're coming out with one in America. Well, the Bluefin Corporation, I think is what they're called, is that they're going to release the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Green and Red Ranger over. I'm really excited, man, because those were my favorites. And they're making the White Ranger, the Kiba Ranger exclusive, which is really such a down. It's a letdown.
The letdown about the SH figure is that there are limited edition stuff, like the Super Silhouette ones.
And they don't really release them. If you ever look, I actually have.
I actually went to Mandarake, like in Shibuya, like when I was in Tokyo.
I'm jealous.
I found the super.
How was the store? How does the store look like?
It was really huge.
Really, because
it's really crowded. It's like super crowded.
Because when I think of Mandarake, I always go to the site.
Oh, the site.
And mostly window shop. Because I'm usually like...
But there's a store. There's a store in Shibuya.
I know there's a store, but like, they usually, that's where you order from. Because like, they always have like, they have the same items, same prices, but they always know which store they're from. And it's either they're used or they're new and all that stuff.
Yeah. I actually saw a Sunshine Super silhouette of it. But I didn't buy it because my dad can only tell me to buy only two stuff. And I bought Kopesama.
Oh, you got it?
I got Kopesama.
Wait. So does it come with the faces?
The Mugen faces?
Yes. But I don't have sun. The only hard catch Precure I don't have is Sunshine for the reason that Sunshine is always the last Precure of my.
Just find Sunshine.
But Sunshine is so hard to find.
You know what? I will go online right now while we're recording. I'm gonna see if I can get it for you. I'm gonna see if I can find it right now.
You're gonna buy it for her?
No, I'm just gonna tell her where to find it!
But I can't buy online. I'm not allowed to.
Oh, really? So, can't she just find it on Mandarake?
We're talking about figure arts, right?
I can find it on Mandarake, but Sunshine is actually the hardest. Out of the hard catch Precure, she's the hardest to get.
She's $133 on eBay.
What? Really? 133?
Free shipping.
Oh my god, what?
Wait, is 33 a lot of money?
Oh my god.
133 is a lot of money.
I can't buy it. Because, my parents will find out. They'll get mad.
133 is a lot of money. $20, to me, $20 is a lot of money. Are you kidding? $20 is like, I can't even hold $20. It's really frustrating. Oh, I found it. Maya, I found it. You just need to go on Mandarake.
Yeah, Mandarake, yeah.
Yeah, there's one in Fukuoka.
But I'm gonna go, but before I leave Japan for my second semester and back in Australia, I'm gonna go back to Mandarake and find Cure Sunshine. And maybe Cure Moonlight.
Well, you need to go... Just make a list of these. Just make a list. You need to go to Fukuoka.
I can't go to Fukuoka. It's too far.
How about Osaka?
Osaka's too far. I can only go to Tokyo because I'll be leaving. And I only have one day to be in Tokyo and do all my pre-final, last-minute pre-cure shopping.
Damn. Because they have... Because there's three of them.
Oh my god! Because out of all the hard catch Sunshines, the last one I need.
Well, isn't Mandarake? So Mandarake is not mostly based in Tokyo?
It's not in Tokyo. It's not based in Tokyo. There's like different. They have like different stores.
So, wait, so is Mandarake like a department store like Toys R Us?
It's like a. Like an underground store. Not underground, it's like a store. It's a store for like with anime merchandise and like all the rare figurines and stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So you can't order, and you can't order online?
You can order online, actually.
No, but you can't order online.
I can't because my parents. My parents have a watchful eye on my wallet.
That makes sense. Okay.
But I can only have him for Christmas. That's how I got Cure Moonlight and Passion for Christmas.
You can wait. Christmas is like 7 months away.
Or my birthday.
When's your birthday?
I actually got the book, the Hardcatch character design book.
Is that the Umakoshi book, or is that like?
Yeah. It was that.
The one with Doremi on it.
Yep.
I've seen that one. How is it?
It has exclusive stuff as well.
Really?
Like
what?
Like the super, like the Mirage Silhouette character designs. They have that one. And Cure Flowers character design, which they haven't released on the web, on the Toei Hardcatch website. It's amazing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Fuck. You don't buy toys, do you, Solon? You're not a toy person?
No, not really. I'm going to spend. No, I don't buy that much toys, but I like to buy keychains and such. So, yeah.
So you're not the type for like displays and stuff, like just keep them out of the box, or, you know.
I said once that, you know, I would really, if I wanted something, I would want Cure Black and Cure White.
I think I was there for that. I was there for that episode when we tried to record it.
I think I would save a lot of money by not buying visuals. And
that is a good mindset that I wish I could follow. But I have a lot of wants in my life, and that is probably why I can barely hold $20.
If it helps, I thought I had saved a lot of money when I was in the US, but then we went and watched Lion King, the musical, and I suddenly lost a lot of dollars. So
did you drop it, or did you have to pay for the ticket?
No, I lost it because I bought a lot of stuff that could be bought at the musical, like
American gift shops.
I do that stuff all the time. That's normal for me. When you go to New York, you can't help but not buy something.
When I go to same with me. When I went to Turkey, I'm like, what?
Because I go to New York, I buy something all the time. Granted, it's food, but I love food. I can't help it. Love food. What we have next is called Sweets Time. Basically, Sweets Time, I've explained it a lot, is a radio show where basically we just listen to three songs that our resident music fairy sends us. Three songs to listen to and to review. And that was Kindness to Peace from the Smile Precure original soundtrack. It's actually done by, it was composed by Takanashi Yasuharu, which apparently was also in the Sweet Precure, according to my playlist here. It's from Sweet Precure. I don't know how long he's been doing the tracks for it. One thing that strikes me when I listen to this track, actually, is it reminds me of that episode from Smile Precure, the peace episode with her dad.
Yeah, it had its good moments.
It says a lot, actually. I was actually kind of trying not to cry a little, to be honest, because that episode was really heavy for me, and I think of that song, I think of that episode, and it's done. I don't know if that song was played. I just thought it was due to the title, but it reminds me a lot. There were some episodes in Smile Precure. I didn't like the series, to be honest, but there was a lot that made me, that kind of got me, you know? It's like one of those things you don't, like, you really can't hate there are some things about Smile Precure you really can't hate, because it just hits hard. Mm. It really does. Composition-wise, it has a bit of difference from Sweet, despite being the same composer. Mm. It's really nice. It's very relaxing, and it says a lot to me. I really like this piece. Wow.
Emotional.
Confessional. I'm getting really emotional, actually. I'm getting emotional. Don't laugh at me. Alright. I don't know. I don't know if it's the same you guys, because music, you know, means a lot. And when I listen to that, it's, music says something. Music has a little bit of it when you listen to it, and you have to appreciate the message, how it, especially where it's placed in some series like this. You have to appreciate it a little. All right. So really quick, I went a little rambling. I was rambling a bit. Sorry. You guys, how did you guys feel about it? Does it remind you of anything? Or is there anything about Smile that it reminded you of? Starting with Kyle.
It just reminded me of some of these really nice moments that Smile had. And, like, it also reminded me of the peace episode with her dad and where her name came from. And just, Smile has these really great moments It may have some crap filler episodes sometimes, but it, like, if you stick around with it, it does have some really amazing emotional moments.
Like, you really can't hate the series. Well, yeah, you can hate the series. I can see why you can. But when... there are some times when it does a good job at what it does. Most of the time it doesn't. But when it does something that you don't expect, or something that it hits really hard, you can't hate them for it. You really can. Especially when you have to listen to the tracks, and they... and they're placed. They're intricately placed. Music is not easily... you don't just slap music anywhere else. You have to intricately put it somewhere so that it fits. You don't just slap it around, you know what I mean? Smile has its good moments, as most series always has these good moments. It just depends on how they do it. How about Solin? How do you feel about this, before I cry?
It's a really nice music. I don't know much about music compositions, so all I can say is that it was really soothing and relaxing, and I really like to have that on my music track when I have to relax or sleep. Then it was real nice, and it reminded me of the third episode. It was the first episode I actually liked from Smile, where, and I think it's only so far of what I've watched of Smile that I liked, because it was more about, you know, talking. It was less about Miyuki and her friendship speeches, and more about Cure Peace getting friends and gaining some confidence. And I think that music really fits from, I think it was in that montage where they worked together to make that comic book, because it reminded me of that scene, at least, where the music reminded me of that scene of the montage where they made the comic book and she was starting to make friends with them.
Does that make you like Peace a little more as a character?
Yeah, at least that episode.
Does that make her one of, like, favorites? How is Peace to you?
A crybaby.
Yeah. Okay. So there's, like, nothing positive about her.
No, yeah, sure, there's something positive about her. Yeah. Or, I haven't watched all the episodes on the whole series, so I'm just going to judge her from the third episode, where I felt that she got established that she was a crybaby and had very little confidence. And at the end of the episode, we get to see that she's starting, you know, we see that she's starting to get confidence, and she is happy that she has gotten friends. And I think that's why I liked her a lot, because it opened a door. Like, it's not like status and a screw change. We're going to keep a How do you say that?
Status quo.
Yes, that. We're going to keep that for comedy thing. It was, so when I watched the episode, it felt like they were wanted her to change and become a stronger person. So I kind of like her that way. But if they ended up keeping her as a crybaby through the whole run, or making her less of a crybaby one episode and forget it the next episode, I'm going to hate Smile more, but I don't think I'm going to hate Peace more, if you get what I mean. I'm going to hate Smile, but not Peace.
Well, she does get better. Actually, she does get better. She does. She becomes less of a crybaby. She still kind of does, because you really can't change that about her. But she does stand on her own, and especially on some of her focus, especially her last focus episode, I think you will find the most redeeming quality of her.
Do you remember the number of the episodes?
No, I don't. I don't remember, actually. I think they started around the 40s. Something like that. And how about you, Maya? How does this song strike you?
I actually really like the song. It's actually really emotional. I did get a bit emotional when you started commenting about it, especially the dad bit. Like, I know how it feels to lose a member of your family. So, well, I haven't lost my dad yet, but
her dad is dead.
Peace's dad. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, her dad's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the episodes you'll actually see her shine. Cool. That's one of the ones I recommend. I think it's like late. It's after 15, between 15 and 20.
So okay. Yeah. Sorry. I went in. Just continue.
Yeah. It's actually a really soothing. For someone who actually likes to listen to music, I'm not much of a big fan of BGMs, but there are some certain music I actually really like. And this is probably going to be one of them.
Yeah, Wing always picks good tracks. Yeah, I'm always proud. Most of the time he'd pick vocal tracks, but for this session, we actually have two instrumental tracks. I don't know how you... This one was a good choice. I never really listened to it, so I'll thank him for that later. And that was Precure, Love Link, from, surprisingly, the All-Stars New Stage 2 soundtrack. I was a little surprised when Wing sent me that one, because he said New Stage 2, but then when he sent me the list, I was like, wait, the soundtrack hasn't even come out. I mean, we didn't even get the vocal album yet, but, you know.
Magic.
Yeah, I'm actually not a fan of Henshin songs. We were talking about in the chat, which you guys will never know, by the way. We were talking about in the chat that they take so long to transform. You kind of think that it happens instantaneously. They just show how it happens. But really, it just takes a long time to transform. And the music reflects on it. Granted, they're transforming at the same time. It's just that the sequence and the song just makes it feel a little longer than it should. It's really not fair to compare it to, say, Kamen Rider or Super Sentai, because they transform like that, you know, like instantly. But Magical Girls, it's always about the flash. You really can't blame them for that. Like, I think Solon, was it Solon? She goes like, everything is going to be okay. The Pretty Cure are here to save the day after transforming for 5 minutes.
Oh, the monster has wreaked havoc already. And there are some dead bodies. Should probably have transformed a little faster. Whoops.
No, but like, you gotta admit, I mean, like, I think transformation is what makes Magical Girls, like, it just makes them what they are. That's what Magical Girls are. It's flashy. Girls like it when it's flashy, sparkly, and all that pretty junk. Boys, not so much. Some Super Sentai has done some stuff like where it's either instantaneous or you gotta wonder how it doesn't happen midway, how they don't fight midway or anything while they're doing the transformation. Super Sentai just does it sometimes instantaneously. Kamen Rider does it instantaneously. Super Sentai has that little sequence, but it's not that bad. It's not that long. Precure reflects on the respect the transformation scene. Respect the transformation. Never diss the transformation. We've already tried dissing the transformation when Cure Heart debuted as the shortest transformation sequence in all of Pretty Cure.
People dissed the transformation?
It's true. Actually, when I first watched the series, I think we watched it via Raw, Kyokun provided the stream at the time. It was one of the shortest transformation scenes ever. It's just like usually they do something flashy and like magical. For Mana, it was just fly. It's just fly soaring through the air, pop, 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 done. That's all it was. It was just like pop, light sparkle, pop, light sparkle.
Really? Isn't that short?
That one, and I think they improved upon it a little more.
I liked it. When I first watched it, I kind of was neutral about it, but as I kept watching, I started like, actually liked it and started humming the song. It shows I like it.
Actually, yes. The first comment I made on the chat was, you know, the whole, it's okay, everything's going to be okay, guys, Pretty Cure said to save the day. I meant that actually, so when I wrote that, because when I didn't know, because I didn't recognize it as transformation music, I just thought, man, this would be a perfect music to start when Pretty Cure comes to save the day, because it gives this, you know, everything is going to be okay. Pretty Cure is here to kick the villains away and everything is going to be okay. They're going to come and save the day. Yeah, but then I read that it was the transformation music and then I started making, you know, after transforming comments. But I think it made me feel that if a monster came and attacked me out of nowhere and a couple of girls in flashy costumes came and fought them, everything would be okay.
So we were talking about Super Sentai and Kamen Rider transformations. Actually, in Space Sheriff Gavin, his explained that his transformation's instantaneous, but then they have this slow-mo thing that shows you how it's all done and like shows all the flashiness and in Kamen Rider, they actually, in some scenes, they continue fighting while they're transforming. But for this music, I really like the Doki Doki transformation music. I'm not sure about you guys, but I think it's nice and like...
Yeah, that's one of my confessions, actually, that I forgot the confession segment. It was, I can whine about Pretty Cure all I want, but I love the transformation sequences. It's my favorite thing, even though I think they are really long. I love watching them, and I love the music. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's very catchy. Mm-hmm. A lot of the transformation music in Pretty Cure is nice and upbeat. It gives this like sense of the heroes are here to rescue everyone, kind of like that. Like, I think Sweet's music was a bit more reflecting of the whole music theme, like with their opera chants and everything. But it still had the sense of, like, the heroes were here to save the day.
Song, it's a vocal song, so you might like it. I'm going to announce it. It's Happy Come Come by Kanae Oki, the voice actress to Momozona Love, Cure Peach. Yeah, it was a love character song. You can kind of tell when you hear that one little random speaking bit that was oddly rushed. I never know how they get that properly done.
I actually knew because Kanae Oki is actually Peach's voice actress. Sorry, nerd. I'm really familiar with the vocal albums. I'm a sucker for collecting all the Pretty Cure Seiyuu songs.
It's a really fast-paced song. I was kind of like dancing to it. You kind of can't help but dance to it. She's also done like a Christmas song. I listen to it sometimes, and it feels out of place when you're listening to a Christmas song in the middle of spring.
Mm.
I'm serious. Who listens to Christmas songs in the middle of spring? She's like, jingle bell, jingle bell. Like, her songs are fun. I think in her vocal album, she has more of the upbeat type songs. But it's hard to differentiate her when she sings with the other singers. There's actually a group during the fresh Pretty Cure time. It was a singing group called M-Cube, which is basically the opening singer, the ending singer, Kudomayu. It's hard to differentiate between her voice and the other singers. Mostly, I think her name is the opening singer, because they sound very similar. The ending one, not so much. They're all similar. It's really annoying. The only one that you can differentiate between them is probably Kudomayu, Eri Kitamura, and I forget Ibuki's voice actress.
I don't know.
Peace, not so much, no. I think, and I don't really know, does she ever do any other voice work?
She did a few old animes, but I don't know much about her. So, what did you guys think about the song?
It was very upbeat, and I didn't actually know who was singing it or, like, what kind of song it was about until I heard that one little Xiao say ghetto dio, or how do you pronounce it? I'm failing at pronouncing. And then after that, I realized it was Love's character song. Yeah. Yeah, it was a nice little tune. I was kind of dancing, fist pumping to it.
Fist pumping!
What about you, Solon?
It was okay. I listened to this one of the first times some the same year it Fresh Pretty Cure aired, and I'm not just a fan of that kind of music style or tune. So since I'm not since I don't know much about music, I'm just going to say that I thought it made Love, and maybe that's why I don't care that much about it. But it's okay now that I heard it again after many years.
When I first actually listened to it, I didn't like it. And then when I started listening to more upbeat songs just now, I actually kind of like it. I'm not really much a big fan of the Pink Pre-Cure vocal songs because they tend to be a bit upbeat, especially Blossom's ones. Blossom's probably my least favorite Pink, and then Happy when it comes to vocal songs. Even though I actually really, 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 really love Blossom's voice actress's singing.
It's way too happy.
Yep.
It's way too happy.
That her voice actress is actually a singer, like a really, really good singer. But when it comes to your character songs, it just... In general, the Fresh Funk songs are actually pretty upbeat. It kind of fits the dancing theme. I didn't like it at first, and then now listening it again, I actually like it.
Today's Ultra Happy Panel is your funniest episodes. Throughout the entirety of Precure that you've seen, name your funniest. We'll just do a round table really quickly. First, I would say Sweet, the test episode, was one of my favorites. It broke some of the norms that I'm accustomed to in Precure. Funniest episode had to be Splash Star. Splash Star episode, the final duel between Splash Star Cures and Kintaleski. Absolutely greatness. It was just, if you guys don't know.
Is it the one where Saki does that face?
I don't know which is the face.
The one where she stares at Mai all the time?
Yeah, when she's trying to draw Mai.
Yeah, that one.
That was great. Mostly because Kintaleski, I was on the IRC, on the chat IRC, and someone, I forget whose name, said that it was that he is a gentleman through and through. He can be a villain, but he is also a gentleman. You can see it reflects a lot, especially because despite issuing a challenge, he still, out of nowhere, still gives drawing advice. You kind of don't expect that from a villain, but at the same time, you got to give him that respect, and it's great because you don't expect it at all.
Yep.
Kintaleski is by far one of the greatest villains in Pretty Cure. You gotta give him that respect.
I'm watching Splash Star at the moment, and I'll get through it. Don't worry.
You'll love it. Moving on, Kirkun.
One of the funniest episodes I found was the Sweets episode where Bari had the last note, and they had to protect him, so they made everyone dress up like Bari, and they were like making a movie or something around him. Anyone else remember that episode?
Yeah, ego boost. It was a huge ego booster.
Yeah.
Fari episodes are the best. There were only two, but they were Fari episodes were the best. Solon, what was your favorite, funniest episode?
The first that comes to mind right now is the Heart Catch episode where Cure Fire makes an appearance.
Yes!
That's the only thing, that's the only thing I can remember that I really laughed out.
Oh, God.
Yes.
The first male Precure. It was so weird and it's so gross. It's so gross. It's like he's got abs and everything. It's weird. He's got like a midriff. You don't want to see that.
Yeah, but now you know my
sense of humor. Oh God, so
gross. I just did not see that coming and it made sense. That's the funny thing. It made sense. It's just like that that play museum that had this "We're going to show Wonder Woman's plane and on the exhibition, and you don't see anything because Wonder Woman's plane is invisible." So it makes sense, but you don't see it coming, or kind of you do, but it's funny nonetheless, so it's like, oh my God.
Oh God. I tried so hard to forget, but I think I saw it on Maya's Tumblr, and now I can't ever forget it. Finally, Maya, your favorite funniest episode. Go!
I actually don't have a favorite ep. I have, like, multiple favorites because I'm a sucker for comedy. But I agree with Solon on that one. Plus, episode 28, where Erica is in the homework bit episode. The homework episode where Erica, like, she doesn't want to study. It's, like, the last few weeks of summer break and Erica's, like, being lazy.
Is that the one where she runs away from home?
No. The homework episode where Cobra Raja turns all the kids who don't want to do homework into desertorians.
Oh!
It was really funny. Especially when Marin does her uses the perfume and it's so awesome. And where the Margarina-centric episodes where she turns Precure into different things. That's my favorite, like, probably my favorite smile episodes in general.
I don't remember that episode so much, actually.
Where Margarina turns Precure into something like a robot, a little kid, or the robot, and pieces all...
Yeah, that one where Miyuki's a robot. Oh, that love that one.
It has Peace going fangirl over robots.
Solon, if you ever watch it, you will love it. It's like one of Peace's best and one of Miyuki's best. You will love it.
Okay, I'm going to watch it between CureCasts and, yeah, I'm going to tell you how I feel about it then.
Oh, you will love it. I promise you, it'll be the most hilarious thing you'll ever watch and smile.
I hope so.
Just enjoy it. You will thoroughly enjoy it. And that is all the time we have today. Thank you for joining us for this fourth episode of the CureCast. And this is our last of the CureCast. We're going to be cycling through them from Futariwa to Smile to Doki Doki and so on. And this, remember, it happens every 4 weeks. So if you see we don't have a cast for another 4 weeks, you know what's coming up. Hopefully Minya next time will be able to join us because she does a very wonderful job and I'm proud of her. So to that end, we wish you a wonderful night and hope that you have a pleasant summer. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.